What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What? What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. Coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona, I got Luke the Bear. What's up?
What up?
Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And Marcus King Ginger Pippin on the ones and twos.
What's up?
All right, y'all. So we're back for another episode. And we have a special guest in the studio today. Actually, this is your first time on.
I think it is, isn't it?
Yep.
First time. Well, welcome to Apologia Radio. We have our Director of Communications for End Abortion Now, endabortionnow.com. His name is Zach. Zach, welcome to Apologia Radio.
Thank you, man. So happy to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, that voice is like
exciting.
Silk. I know, it is like a silky radio voice.
It's a phone voice. I had a lot of phone jobs in the past, so that gave me some time to hone it.
That would be the call center in me. That is. So we're back, and first of all, good news I want to start with today. Huge blessing. Praise God. Big moment of worship to God at Apologia Church. We hit our goal for End Abortion Now. We had a budget and a plan for this next year, and we had somebody who wanted to partner with us in this ministry to help end abortion in our nation, and he pledged to give $125,000 towards our $250,000 need and budget. And so within about 3 weeks, we got the entire amount. Most of it was raised in the very first week, so we are done. We have our entire budget. Praise God.
Time to get to work.
Noise.
Nice.
Praise God.
Noise. So we're getting to work, and we have a lot of things planned for this next year, so be on the lookout for endabortionnow.com. The website will be up. You guys can get connected with your church, the leadership of your church. You guys can connect and get your training via the website. You're also able to get resources for your church to go to the front lines to bring the gospel to the abortion mills and to offer help to the women and the men who go there. And the second part of that is we are going to be flooding the internet and the media with solid content, gospel-centered content related to the issue of abortion over the next year. And we have a conference coming up on May 4th through 6th. So mark your calendars and be ready to come out May 4th through 6th here in Phoenix. We don't have the venue quite nailed down just yet, but that's the date we've chosen. So let your pastors know, your leadership know, get people ready to come out to Arizona to spend some time out here, to get connected, to get equipped and trained, to get be a part of the network to end abortion across the country. And we're actually going to go out to a local abortion mill together with the teams that come out. And so that's May 4th through 6th here in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. Endabortionnow.com is where you're going to go to get regular updates for that. And then we have, of course, the legislative aspect of this fight that we are going to focus in upon, and that's ending abortion immediately at the state level. We got some good news yesterday, actually, on a phone call Some important and very big things are happening right here in Arizona. So big stuff, very excited. So we're also going to equip people to do the same thing. I want to highlight and point to something happening right now in the state of Texas. So if you haven't seen it yet, go to Apologia Studios on YouTube. Look at one of the last videos we posted there where I discuss HB 948, I think is what it is, HB 948. It's a bill that's just been presented to the floor in the House in Texas, and essentially it provides proper definitions for the state of Texas so that life, human life, is identified and protected from fertilization to natural death. There are civil penalties that can be imposed and enforced if you engage in the act of abortion, procure an abortion, and so that's important too. But there's also a very, very interesting thing added to that particular bill, and that is that if any federal court or federal agency attempts to bring a representative of Texas or the state of Texas to court, the legislators and representatives of Texas have been authorized to ignore any such summons because That's the awesome. Higher court does not have jurisdiction. This is really, really important to think about, guys. The pro-life movement over the last 40 years has fought this battle on the enemy's ground. Mm-hmm. What we have granted by way of argument and just how we fight this, the pro-life movement fights this, is that Roe v. Wade is a law that can subvert the laws of the states.
Right.
If you know how our country is set up, it doesn't take you long to figure out, looking at our constitutional documents, that courts don't make laws. The power of creating legislation is invested in the Congress and not the Supreme Court. And so the pro-life movement has been failing in trying to fight this fight in terms of let's try to get Roe v. Wade overturned.
They haven't just been failing. They've been participating against ending life.
That's true.
Weren't you saying something about that, the abortion bill or the murder legislation in Texas has an exemption?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just, I don't know where you were just now, but that's where we were. How you doing, Marcus? What are you up to in there?
No, you didn't get to that point yet.
Welcome back.
And that's what we were just talking about.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Glad I could help emphasize that again.
All right, good. So at any rate, so as Marcus was saying, the exemption, the particular part of the bill in Texas says that they are not to appear in court.
No, that's not the legislation I was talking about, man.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the murder exemption that the pro-life's fault to put in for abortion.
Oh, right. Please.
I knew y'all didn't mention it.
Please
y'all
forgive me.
Trying to give me a hard time.
Please
well,
forgive
it wouldn't
me.
Be the
I'm
first
on top
time,
of my game.
Okay,
that's
sorry.
True.
Sorry.
That's true.
Okay. I thought you were referring to the exemption of them not going to court. Okay, yes. Yeah, so let's finish the final point there. Okay, courts cannot make laws. Roe v. Wade is based upon false premises anyways. Here's the premise. They were saying that what's in the womb is potential human life. We know, as, of course, a biblical fact, that's false. And from a biological perspective, that's completely, patently false at this point. You can demonstrate irrefutably that it is a human being by nature from conception, not potential human life. You don't become human throughout that process. You are, at the moment of fertilization, mm-hmm. human. You have your own DNA. You are by very nature a human being. And so false premises anyways. However, you look at a state like Arizona, we already have an abortion law on the books that says that you can't you can't actually participate in abortion. You can't have an abortion.
But it's illegal.
It's illegal, and that has never been amended. It's never been changed. It's a current law on the books, but it's ignored because there's this tacit admission on the part of the pro-life movement that Roe v. Wade actually creates a law that can subvert the laws
right.
of the states. Now, what Texas has done with this bill, what's presented in this bill, HB 948, is it prohibits them from actually appearing in court because that would be going to court would be saying, oh, you do have jurisdiction over this, let's fight. But there is no jurisdiction there, and Texas can uphold justice for these fatherless children. Now, the next thing we learned is that in the state of Texas, it actually there is a law identifying human beings from fertilization to natural death. What's interesting is we did also learn that it was the pro-life movement that added an exemption to all of that, essentially stating that a woman can procure an abortion, a medical professional can do an abortion, even with human life from fertilization or natural death. And the assumption that we're making here is that the reason the pro-life movement was fighting for that exemption in Texas, and they put it in somewhere around the year 2000, is because they didn't want women to walk around Texas technically being murderers or guilty of murder. And so it was the pro-life movement that fought for an exemption in state law to essentially coincide with Roe v. Wade.
Wow.
Now, I know that when you hear that, it seems just impossible, but what I've been told from people who are on the ground, that's precisely what took place. And so what's happening with HB 948 in Texas right now is an attempt to strike all that down and essentially uphold Texas law about human life from fertilization to natural death. And this is a good bill. It's a really, really important bill. And I just want to say one word here, just briefly. Related to the issue of abolish human abortion, AHA, people ask often, we have done our very, very best not to engage in any kind of mudslinging and attacks, character assassination, those sorts of things in this particular context. We think it's important that we have unity around the mission, and we uphold justice for these fatherless children. We don't engage in any disunity that would disrupt the mission in that respect, in that way. And so if you've been in this fight for any length of time, you probably have seen, you know, conversations that take place, you know, how do you feel about AHA, those sorts of things. Here's what we want to say to that. We have very, very sincere and serious concerns about some of the things that we have seen happen within the AHA movement related to people who leave churches and create what are essentially quote-unquote abolitionist churches, where they go outside of an abortion mill on a Sunday and they call that church divide from good churches, and you know, the church repent movement going to even solid churches in the way that they have in the past really concerns us. I don't have any problem, by the way, I just want to say it. I don't have any problem going to an apostate church, a church that is essentially a liberal church that fights for you know, homosexuality as a good and righteous and holy thing in the Christian life, a church that supports abortion. I don't have any problem standing outside of those churches and calling to repentance and condemning their activities. But there are things that concern us. But here's what we want to do as a church. We want to maintain unity in this mission. People have asked us, well, Jeff, you support HB 948. That was put into place by members of AHA. And what I have to say to that is, great. Praise God. That's a good bill. And that's an important bill. And it would be inconsistent in hypocrisy if we were not to stand with those who have put that bill into place and fight right alongside in terms of the mission on that point. It's very, very important that we maintain consistency in this area. The differences that people may have in any Christian ministry over any issue need to take a back seat when it comes to something like this, where you have something that can preserve the lives of children. It has to take a back seat. And here's our perspective. We want to fight. We want to be about the gospel. We want to save these children. We want to help these mothers and fathers. And any kind of disagreements that take place need to take a back seat in terms of the mission. I will lock arms with anybody in Texas in the legislature to fight for the lives of these children. Mm-hmm. The difference that may be there, and those are very important issues. They can be discussed, but those issues need to take a back seat right now. When we think about the fact that there is a consistent bill right now in Texas that will preserve the lives of children, that has to be in the very front.
How does that work with, like, Roman Catholics or something like that?
In what way?
Well, you saying the issues have to take a back seat.
Because it's about, with Roman Catholicism preaches a false gospel explicitly. They have, in the Council of Trent, declared anathema upon anybody who preaches the biblical gospel. And so that would be a premier issue as to why we wouldn't want to connect with Roman Catholics. And another example of why we wouldn't want to partner with Roman Catholics in this issue is because while Roman Catholics fight for the right to life, Roman Catholics refuse many times to call this murder. Now, there are Roman Catholics that will call it murder, but many times Roman Catholicism provides a basis to essentially prohibit Roman Catholics in this fight from calling it murder or fighting for it in terms of reaching for a first-degree murder charge. So many of you guys saw the interview we had with Tony Lowinger last year, the vice president of National Right to Life. He's a Roman Catholic, and you can listen to the interview on Apologia Studios on YouTube.
So if Roman Catholics came out with a completely abolitionist bill, you would stand behind the bill.
Stand behind the bill.
But not necessarily the organization.
No, no, no.
Right,
and,
okay.
and when I offer support for HB 948, I'm offering support for HB 948. I'm offering support for that bill that's there. And so if people have been confused in the past and they say, well, hey, I thought there were issues of ecclesiology and church government that are concerning, all those concerns are still there, but all those concerns need to take a backseat right now in terms of the fight happening on the ground in Texas. It's about the bill itself. It's a consistent bill. It's a good bill. And here's what I want to say. I don't want to create disunity, unnecessary disunity, where it can be avoided. There are good, solid, faithful Christians who happen to associate with AHA. And what I don't want to do is not offer support for something so important because I have very serious concerns about some practice from some who are part of that particular movement. The people who are part of putting this bill forward are solid believers, and I'm going to stand with them. And that's just important for people to hear. Final word on this, consistency is important. And I think that if somebody has disagreements with another Christian that actually force you to ignore something so good for children, that would display really a work of the flesh. It would display pride. It would display really a hatred for these children, that you're so consumed with your own particular ideas and opinions that you're willing to allow children to be slaughtered by not supporting a bill like this. It's very important to maintain consistency as Christians. That goes across the board. That goes for us. That goes for anybody in AHA. I would say this, and I'll just go ahead and say it on the show so we've officially put it out there. You know, we have some stuff happening right now in Arizona. I hope it happens across the United States with everybody across the United States. We have stuff happening in Arizona right now, and I hope that people who are associated with AHA offer support to us when this stuff gets off the ground in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that disagreements can be put aside so that we stand for the lives of children.
Right.
I hope that does it.
Right.
So just to be clear, we want to be as gracious and as loving and as honoring and glorifying to Christ in the midst of these sorts of difficulties, and we want to stand for the lives of these children. That's the most important thing to us. And to be clear, Apologia Church is in no way, shape, or form partnering with Abolish Human Abortion in terms of ministries, connecting those sorts of things. We want to be on the ground, standing for the lives of these children, standing for justice in whatever state these forms of legislation go into effect. And we believe that it's important that as Christians, we recognize that when bills like this get on the floor, we are going to have to support and stand next to atheist pro-lifers, Catholic pro-lifers, Mormon pro-lifers. I mean, the spectrum is going to be broad and real. And we recognize that we're going to be in that fight on the ground, fighting for the same things. And it's important to keep that in mind. And so in terms of perspective, that's where we're at. The issues, of course, we believe in terms of some of the things that are said and that happen within AHA, the issues are important. They're very, very important, and we think they have consequences. We have love, and we have compassion and mercy for every person that's associated with AHA, and there are a lot of solid, solid Christians who love the Lord and are faithful who happen to associate with AHA. That doesn't diminish the issues that exist. We just want to highlight that. And we want to say that it's very, very important as Christians that we keep the main thing in terms of this fight, the main thing. And that is that we need to stand for justice. We need to criminalize abortion. We need to call it murder. We need to preach the gospel in the midst of it. And so that is our perspective. And we hope that that's clear.
I would just say that, Mormons, Catholics, they're created in the image of God. And so they do have the ability to create good laws every now and then. So it doesn't mean we stand against good laws because we don't like necessarily the theology of the people that put those laws into place.
That's right. If there was a Mormon legislator that put a bill on the floor that called abortion murder, that called for an immediate end to abortion, I'm going to go fight and support that bill. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do so without diminishing the important principles surrounding the gospel. I want to make sure I'm very, very clear on those things. But I'm going to stand for what's right, and I'm going to stand for justice in those areas without obscuring or blurring the lines. And so we hope that this is something that people, wherever you're at on this, can receive and understand and hopefully agree with, that the main thing is the main thing, and that's that we stand for the lives of these children and that we work towards, ultimately, in the end, unity around the truth and the glory of Jesus Christ.
Okay. We'll have time to talk about all our disagreements once abortion is criminalized.
Yeah, fair. Right. Mm.
And I was just going to say, and this isn't no way a shot at anybody, but just how we feel. We've been talking about this. Like, we could care less about our reputation in this. I could care less if my name's attached to this. Jeff could care less if his name, Joy, Zach, Marcus, none of us, we could care less. All we care about is, one, that God is glorified, two, that the and that the sacrifice of children comes to an end. That's right.
Right.
So other than that, like, that's all we care about, and so that's what we're going to fight for. And so, yeah.
That's a fantastic point. Look, when God puts abortion under his feet and this enemy is destroyed, right? We have absolutely no concern for our names to be attached to that whatsoever. We're happy that in the history books, people can look back and say, look at all the people who were involved in that movement, and here's the kinds of things they were saying. But when it comes to any kind of glory or, you know, we did that, Apologia Church has no concern. If you want it, you can have it. That's how we feel. If you want glory for it, then go ahead and take it, because what we're concerned for is the gospel and these children. Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters. Okay, so there you go. What we're going to do today on today's show, we are going to actually talk through really interesting that took place this week between Bernie Sanders and the new, Marcus, what do you call her? She's Department of Education, Secretary for the Department of Education. But what is she? What would you call her now? She's the Secretary of Education elect? Like, how do you say
A boss.
Yeah. She's the one. I don't know the exact title, but she's being considered.
Okay.
So she has to be voted in, obviously.
Yes. So she is, from what we understand, reformed.
Candidate.
Reformed Christian.
Oh, is she really?
I did not know that.
I heard she went to Calvin College.
I just got chills on my spine.
So I don't know all the details. Look, someone might be able to say, no, Jeff, you're wrong about that. That's just the word that I've, the scuttlebutt that I've seen going around. So we'll look into that actually on the break, but we're going to come back, listen to Bernie Sanders kind of grilling her, and I want you to hear what he said. Bernie's going to have a part today in today's show. I want your money, Bernie. So Bernie for your money. Look, we're going to do that right now. And then after that, we're going to actually review a conversation we had outside of the abortion clinic. You're going to get to hear somebody attacking Zach. And you may even hear Zach singing a tune.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He couldn't help himself. The abortion counter-protesters were actually playing loud music, and they really need to work on their music choices. But one of the songs Zach liked, and he forgot his mic was on, and he was like,
It's true. I'm guilty. It's a classic.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. Dave Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
Hey Alex, is your marriage hard?
Yeah, Chris, it is. But like climbing a mountain, it's hard going up, but once you're at the top, it's beautiful.
I wish there were a place where people would talk about marriage and the gospel.
Wait. There is! Our podcast, The Rugged Marriage!
I really feel like I should have known that.
Yeah, recording a commercial has a way of bringing on amnesia.
Well, check out The Rugged Marriage on iTunes and Stitcher. Reform your theology, reform your marriage.
And buy your wife some tulips.
Play your rhythm stick, or clap, just as you did before, like this.
So it's interesting, if you watch the, what they call hearings, with Betsy DeVos, she is Trump's selection for the head of the Department of Education. You'll see that the Democrats entirely loathe Betsy DeVos.
Oh, yeah.
I like that reference.
Yeah, thank you. You got it, see?
Mm-hmm.
They do entirely loathe her.
You know.
And the interesting thing is that they spend a great majority of their time complaining about the fact that they weren't able to ask, like, a series of questions, like, each of them individually, a series of questions. They kept, like, taking up their time to say, why can't we ask other questions? Why can't we ask more questions? One guy, I think it was, that famous guy, he's a comedian. He did stuff, I think, for SNL. I forget his name.
Adam Sandler.
No.
Chris Rock.
What's his name? Al Franken. There you go. Al Franken peppered him with questions, and he said, I don't know who made this rule up about only getting to ask one question, but, and then the guy's like, well, Senator, I can tell you. He says, that's been precedent through Obama's administration. It's been going for years. That's what happened last time. We're just following the same thing we've done for everybody. One question.
Everybody.
And he was like, I don't know who made that question. I
don't know. Well, also, I'm sorry, but it just makes sense that she'd not spend the rest of her life answering everyone's questions.
Yeah, she's busy.
Right.
Now,
like, if everyone got to ask as many questions as they wanted, if everyone just got to ask you as many questions as they wanted for the rest of your life, what would you do for the rest of your life?
I would get through those three questions.
You would answer questions for the rest of your life.
I would get through those three questions.
Right.
Jeff's answers tend to be long. Too, so.
A little bit.
Right. You would answer questions for the rest of your
those
life.
Those five or six questions.
So anyway, so what we're saying is there's maybe a reason why they designed it that way, and we've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
So, Al.
Yeah, ouch.
Come on, Al.
That's right. So Al Franken was upset. Who else did it? Someone else peppered her with questions. And Elizabeth Warren just went to town with her. They're doing their very, very best to discredit her. Now, we'll just start by saying that we don't know a lot about Betsy DeVos. We just know, obviously, she's rich. Rich! You got lots of money.
I just found out she's the daughter-in-law of the founder of Amway.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Amway. Wow.
I actually like her a lot. I'm reading her thing on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah?
I know why you like her.
Why?
You say what your next fact was going to be.
Well, you say what I was going to say.
You're going to say where she's from.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
She's from the same hometown as me.
Uh-huh. I knew
Grand Rapids, Michigan. She went to Calvin College, which my mom had got a degree from Calvin College.
No kidding.
Yep. Actually, she's from Holland. Isn't that
weird? Right.
Holland, yeah. Michigan.
No. She's in a little Holland located in Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, Holland, Michigan.
She's from Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, we don't know a lot about her, but and we will go ahead and put it on the table so everyone understands. We think that the department...
We don't know a lot about her because we only get 10 seconds to ask her one question.
That's right. The Department of Education, how do we feel about it? Well, I mean, it's fairly simple. We think it should die. That's kind of it. So,
tell me how you really feel.
Department of Education shouldn't exist. It's not actually a function of the government, according to the Bible. Government's role is to punish evildoers, to uphold justice. So basically, they should be handling issues of justice, enforcement of contracts, and organizing for national defense. Department of Education is nowhere in there. And we were doing fine without the Department of Education for a long time. As a matter of fact, in history of the United States, you can see that we had one of the highest literacy rates in the world when education was completely and totally private. No public schools, and we were doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at some of the greatest minds in history, and guess what they were? They were homeschooled. Homeschool woodpeckers. And we were doing just fine. It can be done. Yes, so we don't need that. And
if you haven't seen it, you got to see Colin Gunn's film on that, because it'll blow your mind.
Yes, indoctrination.
Indoctrination, yeah.
That's right. Very, very good. So, anyway, at any rate, Marcus, why don't you tell us a little bit quickly about Betsy DeVos?
Okay, so the bad news or the good news? which one do you want first?
Let's get the bad news.
The bad news is she served as a counsel on the Council of Elders and was an elder at Rob Bell's church in Michigan.
Ew.
So, the good news is she had a Calvinist upbringing and was raised in the CRNC? Whatever that one is. It's like the Dutch Reformed.
Christian Reformed Church in North America.
Yeah, Christian Reformed Church in North America. She had a Calvinist upbringing, and she says she's influenced by Abraham Kuyper.
Yep. All right, Abraham Kuyper.
She lists her religion as
interesting.
Reformed.
So her practice, her doctrine might be bad, but her practice is pretty solid in terms of her worldview. And so so here's a quote from her from Mother Jones, and the article is called Betsy DeVos Wants to Use America's Schools to Build God's Kingdom. And she says, there are not enough philanthropic dollars in America to fund what is currently the need in education versus what is currently being spent every year on education in this country. Our desire is to confront the culture in ways that will continue to advance God's kingdom.
Take that. Sounds similar to us.
Oh.
Take that, Obama.
Okay.
Hang on.
I saw... Oh.
Noise!
No, sorry. I saw on BuzzFeed this morning or last night, there was an article that said that all this stuff with Trump and his administration and all that is making the left freak out like it's like they're preparing for the end of the world.
Yeah, you can see that.
So here we go. This is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders! He loves everyone's money. Bernie Sanders loves just to make... I mean, look at this promise. This is the kind of thing you get from Bernie Sanders, and it's just amazing that people just can't see through this sort of thing. I mean, it's just a motivational speech, and here you go.
To make it as hard as possible for you to get an education. That is crazy. Within the next month, I will introduce legislation that will make every public college and public university tuition free.
Whoa!
Wait, is this Curb Your Enthusiasm?
wait. But how will we pay for that? That seems so expensive.
No, we won't pay for it. It's free, Jeff. Listen.
Wait.
Maybe you didn't hear him.
Say, is that expensive? And the answer is yeah. It is expensive, but it is...
No, it's free.
Wait.
It's free.
How is it free and expensive at the same time?
No, it's free. Look, it's free. Don't get caught up in all the details and shenanigans. It's free. We want everyone to have free food, free stuff, free housing, free childcare, free.
But isn't that expensive?
I'm running on my next ticket will be Bernie Sanders. It's free. That's my campaign is Bernie Sanders. It's free, everyone. That's just how the world works. It's free. Mm. Free healthcare, free food, free childcare, free education, free. And no one stops to ask the question, excuse me, sir, how are you going to pay for that? Who's going to pay for that stuff? Well, it's all free. Everyone should give away free stuff. Look, do you understand? If you say, like free healthcare, someone's got to pay for that. And then when you start actually, like, getting the government involved, what happens to the doctors that, like, you know, train themselves and spend time educating themselves and preparing for this and actually laboring and working? And all of a sudden you have a government healthcare system where, like, they don't get paid what they really worked for to be able to pay off their student loans and all the time invested and everything else. Now you have people who are actually giving up their services because the government says you give up your service and you do it for this amount of money because I say so. Mm. Now you have people whose production, their work, their labor is owned by the government. So essentially, like, these sorts of things essentially amount to modern-day form of slavery.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really what it is, because people have to work for the money to pay for these programs. And what you're saying is that we demand that you take that money and pay for these programs. You have to, which means that they own your labor, they own your production, the means of production. It's slavery. It's modern-day slavery. Someone's got to pay for it.
Hey, you know what, the slaves in the cotton fields, they got a free place to live and free food.
Free food. Free shelter,
free healthcare,
free clothing. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, that's the liberal utopia. That's what they're fighting for. But he gets to talk to Betsy DeVos, and here's what Bernie Sanders said to Betsy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mrs. DeVos. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for dropping into the office a few days ago.
Thank you, Senator.
Mrs. DeVos, there is a growing fear, I think, in this country that we are moving toward what some would call an oligarchic form of society, where a small number of very, very wealthy billionaires control to a significant degree our economic and political life.
Wait, we're moving towards?
can I just say that I saw a tweet the other day and it listed the top 8 wealthiest people control half of the entire world's economy in terms of how much money they make, and all 8 of them were liberals. So I just thought I would point that out.
It's a fun fact.
It is a fun fact.
Good to know.
Would you be so kind as to tell us how much money your family has contributed to the Republican Party over the years?
First of all, does she not have the freedom to do that? Is she not allowed to do that? Does that make her like a bad guy? That's the thing, is like, you gave money to the Republican Party. Hold on, Mr. Sanders, do you know rich people that gave you money for your campaign?
Right. Bernie really likes to tell people what to do with their money.
He does.
Right.
He thinks that the whole money thing should be sort of like in everyone's hands and control. And but here's the thing. Do you want to offer as much scrutiny to the people who donated towards Democratic Party and your campaign? Are they bad guys?
I don't think anybody gave him money. He took it.
Are they bad guys?
Dang.
Senator, first of all, thank you for that question. I'm, again, was pleased to meet you in your office last week. I wish I could give you that number. I don't know.
I have heard the number was $200 million. Does that sound in the ballpark?
Collectively, between
my entire
family, that's possible.
Okay.
Wow. That's a lot of money. $200 million. Woo!
I can't believe she did that.
That's a lot of money. And she has the freedom to do it.
Because it's her money.
Her money.
Praise God.
Right.
Yay!
Right.
How dare you?
She's like, between my whole family, why would I even know that? Like,
I mean, I suppose, I mean, if you want to paint the picture that all people that do well are bad guys and greedy in some way, I mean, I guess this might work. So this might pull on emotional heartstrings.
Except for Bernie.
For some people, yeah.
Right.
Except for him.
Wealthy, but
that's
not
the thing
greedy.
Is, like, Bernie is... Is he poor?
I saw a picture of him in his car. He's got a nice car.
That's what I'm saying. Noise. Like, how does he paint this picture while not including himself?
With broad strokes.
Because it's a charade. It's a way to placate.
Oh, in case you're wondering, he... oh, wait. I'm just looking up his worth. Sorry. $21 million? No, that's Jeb Bush. Hold on. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Well, we'll go back to Betsy while you do that.
Okay, go for
My
it.
Question is, and I don't mean to be rude, but do you think if you were not a multi-billionaire,
he does.
If
he
your family
right.
has not made hundreds of millions of dollars of contributions to the Republican Party, that you would be sitting here today?
Senator, as a matter of fact, I do think that there would be that possibility. I've worked very hard on behalf of parents and children for the last almost 30 years. To be a voice for parents and to voice for students and to empower parents to make decisions on behalf of their children, primarily low-income children.
Thank you. In your statement, your prepared statement, you say, and I quote, students should make informed choices about what type of education they want to pursue post-high school and have access to high-quality options. Some of us believe that we should make public colleges and universities tuition-free, so that every young person in this country, regardless of income, does have that option. That's not the case today. Will you work with me and others to make public colleges and universities tuition-free through federal and state efforts?
It sounds so good.
Right.
It sounds so appealing. Everybody gets free college, free tuition, except we think about the foundations of it. The government should be involved in them in the first place, and then somebody has to pay for that. It's not free. Because people don't work for free. People have to feed their own families. It's a whole system. It's a cycle of life in a way, and people have to be able to pay for their homes and their gas and their food and put their own kids through school. People have to do all these things, and so in order to do that, they have to have jobs. They have to earn money, and it's just this cycle that Bernie just seems to forget and doesn't actually address. But now Betsy, thankfully, she does. Listen.
Senator, I think that's a really interesting idea, and it's really great to consider and think about, but I think we also have to consider the fact that there's nothing in life that's truly free.
Good for you. Good on you, Betsy. Good on you. It's a worldview issue. It's a worldview discussion.
Yep.
So these questions aren't just simple, straight across. They're worldview discussions. You believe that it's perfectly acceptable in society to force people to take their production and give it to the government by coercion to pay for programs for other people. Now, if you had a different worldview and you actually respected people's rights and property and money, you wouldn't be suggesting such a thing. You wouldn't be suggesting that we should have the government take people's money to pay for other people's stuff. That's just, you wouldn't be doing it. And so it's a worldview discussion. And Bernie Sanders, I think, many times makes these promises and highlights these sorts of programs, but never talks about actually how it would get ultimately done. Except in this case, he does admit it. And here we go.
somebody's going to pay for it.
Yes, you're right.
And you're right.
So somebody will pay for it, but that takes us to another issue.
And that is, if I may.
Yeah. And that is, right now we have proposals in front of us to substantially lower tax breaks for billionaires in this country, while at the same time low-income kids can't afford to go to college. Do you think that makes sense?
Yeah. I think that if you look back in the history of our country, income tax wasn't always a thing in our country. And remember the Boston Tea Party?
Uh-huh.
Boston Tea Party, you learn about it in school. Everyone knows about the Boston Tea Party. Now, whatever you think about the Boston Tea Party, remember that the big complaints that were happening were over percentages of taxation that were somewhere around 2%, somewhere around there. Now we're talking about income tax at a level of like 50%. That doesn't even begin to touch the issue of sales tax, what level that can be, and property tax and all those things. Death tax. You're dead. Tax you.
Yep. Wow.
Gotcha. Estate tax, those sorts of things. And so taxation, very important issue. And here's the thing. I understand that there's never really a way to address that and touch that in a meaningful way if you don't address the foundational problem that we have, and that's that we have larceny in our hearts and we like other people's stuff. And so taxation will never get actually addressed. So the whole movement of people, you know, hashtag taxation is theft. You know, I would say unjust taxation is theft, first and foremost. There's a just kind of taxation. But taxation is theft, hashtag taxation is theft, won't work unless you address the heart problem.
Mm.
And that's
exactly.
That people want to take other people's
right.
stuff. Now, in this case, he's saying, oh, right, no, okay, yes, it's not free, but we can just take it from the billionaires. We'll take their money away from them.
Mm-hmm.
By how? By coercion. How do you suggest you're going to take these billionaires' dollars? How are you going to take it? You're going to take it by coming up to them and asking them to give it freely? No, you're going to say, by law,
or
coercion...
else.
You will give us your money to pay for what? These people and their stuff.
Or we'll take your stuff.
Or we'll take your stuff.
Senator, I think if your question is really around how can we help college and higher education be more affordable for young people as they anticipate.
Actually, that wasn't my question. My question is, should we make public colleges and universities tuition-free so that every family in America, regardless of income...
He said, no, I'm not talking about making it more affordable. I'm talking about free. That's actually not my question.
Which is not really affordable.
Not affordable, free. It's bigger, Betsy. It's bigger.
Have the ability to have their kids get a higher education. That was my question.
Senator, I think we can work together and we could work hard on making sure that college or higher education in some form is affordable for all young people that want to pursue it. And I would look forward to that opportunity if confirmed.
Would you agree with me that if there is a mom watching this hearing who makes $30,000-$40,000 a year, single mom perhaps, who has to pay $10,000 or $15,000 a year for childcare for her daughter, that is a burden that is almost impossible to deal with? What are your proposals about making childcare universal for our working families?
Stop.
Do you have ideas?
Stop. Okay. You know what is a burden that's impossible to deal with? Being taxed $15,000 a year.
That's the problem.
So if you don't tax them, or really any of the, if you don't tax the upper class, there'll be more money to go towards wages.
That's right.
And then the people will make more, and they'll be taxed less too.
Quickly. Bernie's self-reported net worth is $528,000. But he also just bought a $600,000 home.
Yeah, no way. Not
which,
true.
He's allowed to do because it's his money.
It's his money. He do what he wants.
Right.
I don't care how much money.
Right.
But the level of hypocrisy has to be pointed out. What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to, I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end.
All right, guys, so we had the opportunity to go to Planned Parenthood in Tempe this past Saturday. A lot of activity outside Planned Parenthood now in Tempe. And we actually were able to find the open public Facebook group of the Planned Parenthood supporters. So we got to see
the public group.
Public group, yeah. Some of the things that they were saying about our work out there, and got to see some of the things they were saying about us. And some of their plans and some of their upcoming events. So that was helpful. But we got to go out to Planned Parenthood on Saturday morning and plead for the lives of these children. And we noticed that there seems to be a lot more activity.
Yes.
With the Planned Parenthood supporters out there. And you know what's interesting is we got to see them saying things like, guys, we have to do something. These guys are having a significant impact. And they're really... Yeah. In a way, just really, can I use the word scared of the work? Now, I just want to say, what's that?
A Twitter?
What?
That's like a better word for scared, maybe.
They were all a Twitter.
They were all I thought you said a Twitter.
Twitter account.
They were all a Twitter.
They even said.
No, I got you now. That's actually a very good word. Good job.
They even said. They have a drone. They must have lots of money.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see them taking a defensive posture.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it was interesting they were afraid of us because we raised that money so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that. They said it's scary how fast they raised that money.
Without stealing it.
Yes.
Right.
So it was, I think, for us, very eye-opening to get... They closed the group down now. They made it private, so we can't see now. Ah. So it's a private group now, and that's fine. But they have a right to do that. But
right,
we got to see some of the things that they were saying in terms of they're taking this very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. And they're worried about the effect that Christians can have outside of abortion mills and on legislation. So take that and just consider it, that the opposition on this point is actually against the ropes in many ways. Mm-hmm. And they know it, and they're worried about the effect that Christians can have who go out there. And so we got to get into several conversations, and this first one we're going to play for you guys. We're going to go through together, and you guys feel free to say stop and I'll stop it for you. But this is the Planned Parenthood supporter that actually walked up to Zach on the public sidewalk. So she initiated the conversation. And so the cameras were rolling. We put these out because we have found that they really bless the church and equip the church on how to do this kind of work. So you have to forgive the startup here. She, I think, walked up and surprised Zach a little bit. And he had to try to get his microphone situation under control. And there's a little bit of squealing. So if your radio is turned really, really high up right now, your volume is up, make sure you turn it down.
Might
hurt a bit. There's a bit of squealing. We want you to hear what she has to say. And so I was actually walking back from the store when I saw this conversation taking place. So here we go. Planned Parenthood activist refuted on Apologia Studios on YouTube.
Great to talk to you. You're just full of it. You're absolutely full of it. You know what? Why don't you just do something better with it than harass people who are just seeking medical care?
Medical care for who, ma'am?
Yes, for themselves, because
what
they
about
have a right to it. They are not doing anything illegal. You're just a perverted,
ma'am, slavery was once legal as well, so that means we've kept it around?
Oh, brother, you're just playing a tape. You're making absolutely no sense, and you should just go.
Okay, so that was the first start of the dialogue. And, you know, just the word, you're a pervert, interesting choice of words. Zach's out there standing for the lives of children, and he suddenly becomes a pervert, so interesting. But she calls him a fundamentalist, and I would say, ma'am, you are a fundamentalist. You are a fundamentalist, but your doctrine is different. Your dogma is different, but you are certainly a fundamentalist. She came up with a I Stand With Planned Parenthood t-shirt. Now, I want to say, just on this point, it seems to me, and I want to hear what you guys have to say to this, it seems to me when we put these videos up, there are believers who see the content and they say things like, oh, this makes me feel uncomfortable. Oh, I don't know if I agree with this kind of work. And it just seems so hostile and so difficult. Like, we put the video up that's about a minute long of a woman that came up to Wade and Stephen on the side and were just cussing him out, yelling at him. And a girl comes up and just starts laughing demonically and maniacally. And people say, oh, this makes me feel so uncomfortable. And one person said, Jeff, I see your other videos talking to Mormons and atheists and everything else, and you're usually so such a gentle spirit with them, but this was just such a hostile thing. I don't know if I can agree with this. I want to say, guys, can't you understand the difference between sitting down with somebody at a coffee shop to get to preach the gospel to them, going to the Mormon temple with people who are actually engaging you in dialogue and talking with you, and going to the abortion mill where, when you're watching this video, you need to know, while the video was being filmed and Zach is talking to this lady, they are tearing babies apart about 100 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, really, that's what's happening. That's the context. It seems like we can't contextualize very well as Christians. We can't consider, oh, this is an abortion clinic. They're murdering babies. It's going to be a little quicker, faster, more hostile than the Mormon temple.
Do you even Acts, bro?
Right, the book of Acts, yeah.
They must feel really uncomfortable when they read that book of the Bible, too.
Yeah. Well, the book of Acts. The way, the methodology of the apostles and the early Christians there, they would go and proclaim the gospel and a riot would break out, or they would get put in jail, those sorts of things. I do wonder.
That hasn't happened yet.
Will the modern evangelical be comfortable hanging out with Paul when he was getting stoned and beat up for preaching the gospel?
Yep. I would say just one thing to that. One thing I read shortly after that encounter that really encouraged me is that Christians have to make peace with being at war with the world if it means being at peace with God. Because we're in a fight all the time, and I think a lot of Christians just don't realize the Christian life is a war. That's why the Bible uses war language to describe it, taking up the armor of God. Doing all those things, it's a spiritual fight, whether you're fighting against your own sin or whether you're having conflict against those who are at war with God themselves. It's a fight all the time. The enemy is out to destroy us. And when you come into, you know, contact with someone else who's so adamantly opposing your worldview because they're trying to cover up their sin and that conviction is so deep, I think we have to remember that. We're in a fight all the time, and war is ugly, and we have to be willing to be at war with the world if it means maintaining peace with God.
And I have to specify, I need to say it, for any Planned Parenthood supporter who may be listening to this, we love you, we care for you, and I need to make sure I explain Zach's comments. Unfortunately, I have to do this. When Zach uses words like fight and war, it means it in a very spiritual sense. There is no physical harm that will ever come to you. We are peacemakers.
Right.
We do not believe that this can in any way be won in a way that's glorifying to God. Through bloodshed or pain or hurting one another. This is purely in spiritual terminology. And it's interesting I have to say that because we did see, as things were closing out with that Facebook group, they were saying things like, I saw another one of their videos where they talked about spiritual warfare and warfare. We need to contact the FBI because they're also using drones and maybe using drone strikes on us. I mean, literally.
Well, and I think a lot of what Zach's talking about, too, is just being willing to engage in controversy, even just verbally, and being willing to put yourself in a position where you're not liked.
Right.
And in a position where your name, where once someone hears your name, it's not associated with something positive.
Mm.
And so that may just be, in order to have peace with God, you may not be well liked.
That's right.
Jesus says, woe to you when all men speak well of you.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Those are actually your arguments. Those aren't our arguments. You see, just because abortion is legal, that doesn't make it moral. So that argument
is
completely fallacious.
Business. That's your business. If you think it's wrong, that's your business.
Congratulations for taking the arguments back to the time of slavery. What did they say during the time of slavery? They said, don't like slavery, don't own a slave.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Right.
My property, I have the right to declare what's a person or property on my property. It's my body, my choice, my property, my choice. I mean, they really use those arguments. You do realize. So when Planned Parenthood supporters respond with things like, if you don't like abortion, don't have an abortion. It's exactly, precisely the language that was used during the time of abolition, during the time when slavery was legal and people were warring against it. Those were the arguments they used. There's a much deeper transcendental moral component to all of this. It's not just about what's legal.
Right.
There are lots of things that are legal that people try to fight against all the time. If you say, well, it's legal, so it's moral or legal, so we should keep it around. I want to ask the person, and I suppose I could probably nail it right now when I say, I'll bet you this woman was behind the redefinition of marriage and the legalization of homosexual marriage. I bet you she was. Well, let me ask. Before, in the United States, it was actually illegal to engage in that kind of behavior, and it wasn't legal to engage in a homosexual marriage. Well, should we have kept it around because it was legal only to have male and female marriage? Well, you see, that's the point. You think about it in those terms, you get to the bottom. And when she says things like, that's not relevant, or you're not making sense, no, it is making sense. It's a self-refutation. You're refuting yourself with very, very bad arguments for your position.
Abortion, but gee, guess what? You're a guy.
I live down the street. You're too loud. That's above.
Yeah, and
decibels.
By the way, you are breaking the law.
Now, notice while this is being said, you can hear the music in the background. Do you know how that music's coming from? The Planned Parenthood supporters. They bring out a big speaker and they blast this music to try to drown out our voices. So while she's saying this, her crew is literally standing behind her blasting music.
Right.
The hypocrisy knows no bounds. And also the gentleman that came up and said, you disturbed my peace. He's a homeless guy that lives around the corner. So no, we're not.
This is disorderly conduct.
No,
you're too loud. Yes, it is.
No, ma'am.
It is a city ordinance.
Ma'am.
This is disorderly conduct.
You have really no position to be arguing about law when you stand for the death of children.
Dude, it's legal. So
was slavery.
Up.
So was slavery.
Oh, please.
That's your argument.
No, it's not.
It was legal then. Was it okay?
That's irrelevant, and it's completely aside from this discussion.
Your argument is if it's legal, it's okay, it's moral.
No.
So is slavery.
Because there is nothing wrong with abortion.
With slaughtering
children? It's not slaughtering children. These are fetuses.
So this is an attempt at obfuscation via euphemism. That's what it is.
That's a mouthful.
You want to muddy the entire discussion by euphemism. That is, it's just abortion. It's just a fetus. What we need to do as Christians is remove the ability to maintain that kind of rhetoric.
Cut through it.
Cut through it and just call it what it is. Okay, by abortion, you mean crush the skull of a 15-week-old human.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By abortion, you mean gut a little boy while in his mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you mean.
Right.
And so here's the thing. Watch this. Now, some of them say, well, you're just using euphemisms as well. No, I'm being descriptive. I'm actually being definitional. I'm actually saying that's what's actually taking place. So we can use that language rather than their language. And so that's what's important to do. Anybody else?
No, if you try and get someone to define those euphemisms for you, they will not do it, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You will ask them to define choice. You will ask them to define ending a pregnancy. You will hear things like emptying the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are very euphemistic. They're not specific. Someone, a group of people, they paid them to sit in a room and figure out how to least offensively describe what is happening.
Yeah.
When you watch a video of an abortion, that gets pretty specific.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it makes you feel gets pretty specific. I don't think when I say that it's murder and when you just said crushing the skull of a 15-week-old person, it doesn't make me feel good to say that, but that's pretty specific. That is not a euphemism.
Yeah.
You can't change the definition of euphemism. That's not a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
That's right.
It's not the same thing.
Why are you speaking Latin? Fetus means a little small child.
Oh, it does not.
It does.
Babies
look
are born.
Look at the atom. And here's the thing. Look, this was important. Again, my point in saying fetus means baby or small child is to remove their attempt, again, at obfuscation via euphemism. I'm going to take it away. And why? And why am I doing that? I'm pointing to the fact that the Latin word fetus has a particular origin, and it has a particular, there are particular words that are within the semantic domain of the word fetus. What the word referred to then, when that word was in use, when it has its origins and you study it, women were not using the word fetus to create a euphemism for something in the womb that they could kill. The word fetus in Latin, look up the etymology, referred to the offspring of a creature, particularly to the newborn offspring of a creature. And when you think about this, what is the offspring of a human creature? What is it? Baby?
Mm-hmm.
Small child. That's what it referred to. It was a word used in that way. So when I say, look at the etymology of the word, fetus means baby or small child, because guess what? It did. It's precisely what it referred to. And what I want to do is, listen, refer back to that to point out that you're just trying to distort the nature of this situation, right. And I'm not going to let you do it. And we ought to say that. If you don't like the word fetus and me saying baby and small child, then let's use more scientific language. Why don't we say this? Why don't we say human being? Because guess what? The moment of conception, There is no question. It is a human being by nature. Now, if you don't like those words, let's not use fetus. Let's not use baby, small child. Let's say human being. We can all agree on that. All right.
You're talking about, and you know what, don't even talk science. You just have this fundamentalist view that everybody should follow, and you know, you don't care about the rights of women. You don't care that this is just your moral view.
I care about the rights
view.
Of these women.
No,
the little women that go in there.
You just care about your own agenda. Just
well,
go to
ma'am,
church.
We both have
Why
agendas.
Don't you serve the
we
community
both,
and
we
do
both,
something
that's
good?
What we're doing right
All
now.
You're doing is shouting.
That's what we're
and
doing right now.
People,
we're not shouting.
You know what? You're not making
your
a difference.
Your voice is actually
higher
than mine.
You are not making any bit of difference at all.
Can I show you? You want to see Carmelo? He's alive today because of this work. Is that a difference?
Oh, please.
Would you like to see?
No.
Back to the science. Did you know that from the moment of conception, it has all the biological components of a human being? The only difference is size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependence. That's a fact.
No,
you really need to do your homework. Most pro-choice advocates today just say, yes, it's a human. Yes, it's a child, but we should still be able to kill it. Your argument is about 40 years too old.
I think it's convenient.
All right, guys, be right back. More from the conversation on Saturday outside of an abortion mill in Tempe, Arizona. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. Don't forget to sign up for All Access, guys, and partner with us in this work to bring the gospel around the world. Thank you to everybody who is a partner with us in All Access. You guys get all the TV shows, the after shows, and the Apologia Academy, and you partner with us in the work of Apologia Church to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Be right back.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world, not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on a lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save
your
face.
Wait.
No, go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Is this all being recorded?
Are you getting revenge?
Are you
getting
revenge? Ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Right?
Go ahead.
We good?
Go ahead.
Yep. Three.
And three. Are you sure you're all right? We're in agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And three.
Wait a minute.
What?
She's getting revenge.
Three.
By the seat of her pants.
Two.
I just have a really quick question.
Okay.
Actually, never mind.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Three. Two.
Night's back in Tokyo. And
apologiaradio.com. Go get a past episode. Share it with somebody you love, guys. There's lots of stuff up on YouTube, Apologia Studios on YouTube. You guys can check out the videos there. Sermons. We just actually put up a couple of messages from our series at Apologia Church. We're doing the Doctrines of Grace right now. So if you guys are new to Reformed theology, to the Doctrines of Grace, Tulip, we're unpacking all that. And guess what? Dr. James White is going to be teaching for us while we're gone.
That's true.
In Kauai for our mission there to plant a church. He's teaching. I'm not sure what he's doing. I don't know if he's doing Perseverance of the Saints or maybe he's doing Answering Objections. But that'll be up as well, guys. So be on the lookout for that. And here we go. Let's go back to the clip.
You're just a bunch of men over here standing like
man,
this.
Ma'am, why would you presume on what
worst
I identify
argument.
As?
Because
in this day and age, you're going to presume that I'm a man just by looking at me? How do you know what gender I identify as?
Because you're a Christian extreme.
Answer the fool according to their folly. That's what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
And
Christian
you're imposing
extremist.
Your views onto other people.
If it's
so you're
ma'am,
obviously
you're doing that right
and...
now, ma'am. That's hypocrisy. You're here imposing your views upon me at the moment.
No, I'm not.
It's hypocrisy. You just did. You called me a religious
what?
Extremist.
Why are you out here if you're not pushing your views on people?
No, we're trying to protect the people from harassment from people like you.
Ma'am, you came over here to us. That's
yeah, because
that's Carmelo. You
look,
said we're doing no good. He's alive.
Baby.
He's alive today.
That's a beautiful baby.
He was moments away from death. Should he be dead?
I don't know.
How does she not know? How does she not know that? Should he be dead?
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. So the thing is, what I need you guys to notice, the people that are listening, is that when you talk to her about Carmelo, those are the only times that she cannot immediately answer you.
Mm-hmm.
There's the only questions you ask her that she cannot immediately say, no, that's not true. No, you're wrong. No, you're a Christian extremist. You're mm-hmm. a fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only times
and she
can't immediately say
and
her
she
answer.
Doesn't want to look at the picture of it either.
Right.
So she knows. She does know.
We all know.
Yeah, she wouldn't look at it. And that's a very, very effective form of argumentation, by the way. Christians, if you go out to the abortion mill, have some pictures ready in your mm-hmm. phone. So when they say things like that to you, you can just show them the picture and just show them the nature of the case. Show them the consequences of their behavior. So this is a baby right here. This baby mm-hmm. was saved for this kind of work.
Yep.
Should they be dead? If you had your way, they would be.
Do you not know anything about this story?
I'll tell you the story.
Person.
She was in pre-op. The father.
So you're trying to change the law
heard
for
us.
People.
The father heard us and he went in and got her out. He'd be dead today if you had your way.
Hey,
should he be dead?
Hey, I was sleeping in this morning and you destroyed my sleep.
You should be more concerned that those babies being murdered than whether or not you were asleep.
Sir, get if you want to get something that tests the decibel level, you can. This is Carmelo. Should he be dead?
That's not even a relevant argument.
It's very
really
relevant.
Isn't.
It's what's
no, it's
happening
not.
Today.
It is not, because I can point out many cases where women are victims of incest or they're victims of rape.
Okay.
Or their fetuses are killing them.
Their little child.
Or they can't. You know, you keep correcting me with that, and that doesn't mean anything.
Because that's what the word means.
No, let me tell you this. That does not mean anything to me, okay?
The word,
so,
definitions
so just
don't
cut
matter.
It off, because
definitions
it's irrelevant.
Matter. Definitions don't matter.
It matters in that the sense that what you're describing as this thing is
baby.
Not... Okay, it's
human.
Not a baby.
Human.
It's a baby by definition after it's born.
No.
Babies, when the baby,
no.
when the child can live
Ma'am,
separate from the mother, when the child is a fetus, it's part of the mother.
When it's
it
a little child, it's part of the mother.
It requires the mother's body
sure.
to survive.
Of course. Guess what else requires a mother's body to survive?
A baby that's born.
6-month-olds.
Right.
9-month-olds. 2-year-olds require the mother's...
Sometimes 35-year-olds.
Body. That's right.
Yeah.
They require the mother's body and the father's body to survive. You have to have, an adult... to take care of children for a very, very long time. I think this woman has a child. I think it was her daughter that walked up to her in
yeah,
this
I
actual video
right.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knows what that's like. Do we actually suggest that because a child is dependent upon its mother that we...
Well, I think you said it and you already said it
right.
to this woman. Her argument's 40 years old.
Right. Very, very old.
I mean, it's not even...
Yeah.
This is an old argument.
Right.
Our neighbors are having a lot of fun.
Our neighbors next door are doing something. Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear that in the air, but
furniture or something.
It sounds like, yeah. Okay, all right, here we go.
Oh, you came into the world too.
Yes, and when that separation occurs, that's when it becomes a baby.
So we should be able to slaughter a child based upon where it's located.
Just like, you know what?
So your argument is location.
In the book of Psalms,
yes.
They actually did do infanticide. And it
was, sorry?
Yes, they did.
Where?
In I can look it up for you, but they talk about blessed be the man who smashes
the stones against the baby against the rocks.
Against the rocks.
That was an imprecatory passage about the enemies of God had been slaughtering the Israelites' children by doing just that. And so it's essentially an imprecatory psalm, basically saying justice should be done to them, and let it be done to them in war, which was done to us, the Israelites. You really should do context and understand the meaning
Maybe
of the passage in the history.
I used to be a Sunday school teacher.
Okay.
I know some Bible passages.
And now you're standing for this.
I'm not a scholar.
Okay.
I'll give you
Can
that.
Can I just point one thing?
You know
one question
a lot
I have
more
for you
about the Bible than I do.
One question.
Okay. So now listen, there's a way to go about this. I mean, there's a whole other direction in this conversation where we could have just said, okay, you've rejected Christ now. You're no longer a Sunday school teacher. You're no longer a professing Christian. So what are you now, an agnostic, an atheist? We could have gone into an entirely different direction to show that she has no basis now in her world.
Right.
We'd be complaining about anything.
Right.
To having any kind of moral arguments whatsoever. Now, the reason why we continued the argument in this way was to essentially allow for all their arguments to be placed on the table so that they can be refuted publicly before the watching world, and to provide answers for Christians when these things come up. So, for example, when she brings in that Bible verse, it's a popular thing.
Right.
People bring that verse up. They bring that verse up, and the atheists use it, and they say, oh, look, your God's for infanticide. You know, there's one way you can address this, and that's the way that Doug Wilson did with Dan Barker in the debate that Dan Barker brought it up. When Dan Barker brought up that particular passage, Doug Wilson says, why are you complaining about God being pro-choice?
Right.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Leave it to Doug Wilson to always have very creative ways of...
He's quick.
Showing
that serrated edge.
Yes, the brokenness of the unbelieving worldview. All right, so what we're going to do now, guys, is just point you to the rest of this. There is about 5 more minutes left in this conversation. It's on YouTube. Apologia Studios on YouTube. One of the last videos we put up, it's called Planned Parenthood Activist Refuted. And so I really want to encourage you to take a look at it and share it. Let people know. It's really, really important as Christians that over this next year, as we try to fight for the legislative aspect, criminalizing abortion, as we do everything that we're doing in this fight, it's really important that we know their arguments and we can refute them well. And so I want to encourage you guys to take a look at it. And okay, so before we take off for the show today, Joy, you have something you want to do?
Oh, I just thought it would be good to do something fun.
Yes!
We've been doing fun prank calls.
So we've had a serious couple minutes here.
Right.
Okay, what's up?
We gotta have Zach do a prank call now.
I know. Everyone needs to be brought in to the fold.
Zach Attack!
It's an initiation process.
Zach Attack.
Hey, real quick before you start this, I just saw a thing come across my newsfeed that the UN ambassador that Trump has named to that position said she will oppose making abortion a human right.
All right.
Wow.
UN.
Cool.
So,
praise God.
Things are happening, people.
I hope so.
Continue.
All right, Joy. You guys,
never
excuse
mind the
drilling and the grinding going on right now. I don't know if it's picking up, but there's a lot of noise in here right now. All right, so this test is only a genius can get 8 out of 12 on this test.
To preface it, Joy got 11.
Okay.
I took and got 4.
You got 4? Joy got 11?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
So, all right. It says is that I have a lot of trivia knowledge, and I'm good at taking tests.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
That's really all it says.
It says, only a genius can get 8 out of 12 on this quite interesting facts quiz. All right, here we go. Number one, what is the most common element in the Earth's atmosphere? Oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide,
argon.
I want to say, I'm going to go...
Is that like the sweater? Like an argon sweater?
What's that?
I'm just kidding. It's argyle.
Just pick your answer. Okay. oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, or argon. I'm going to say nitrogen. Oh.
Good guess.
Good
Way
job.
To go, genius.
Good job. What were the earliest forms of contraceptive made from? Oh, interesting. Crocodile dung? No. Goat bladders or leather? I'm going to say goat bladders. Whoa!
That's what I guess.
Crocodile dung?
Yeah.
Crocodile dung, one of the earliest dated documents describing birth control methods is the Kun Gynaecological Papyrus, which describes using a clump of crocodile dung. Ew. That is really disgusting.
That sounds horrible.
What are people with electrophobia afraid of? Electricity? I don't know. hugs, beards, chickens, or wizards? I'm going to say electrophobia would be wizards.
That's what I guess.
No, chickens!
That's also what I guessed.
That's not...
I guessed wizards.
Okay.
Just because I wanted it to be
okay.
that.
Okay, I wanted to say wizards. Okay,
but that's the one I got wrong.
What's the correct term for a group of hippopotamuses? I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only hippopotamus
so
will
is
do.
It a convocation, a bloat, or a shoal?
I'm going to say it is a bloat.
Good guess.
Ah, very good. I got it.
Well, look at that little baby.
Ah, it's a bloat. Okay, number five. Humans only use 10% of their brains, true or false? Now, this is common, right? And people say people only use 10% of their brains. I wonder if it's a common myth and people actually use more. I'm going to go ahead and say it's false because it's popular. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and try that. I'm going to say false.
Go for it.
Yes, I got it.
It's
false.
It's a popular myth.
It's a popular myth.
It's a popular myth.
Very, very good. Nothing on the planet Venus is named after a man, true or false? Now, this is not fair. Why is this a genius test? Geniuses are supposed to know, like, what was named after a man on Venus. That's not fair. Okay.
Silly
so
question.
It's true or false. Nothing on the planet Venus is named after a man, true or false. I'm going to say true. False. Dang it. Okay. Number seven. How has the Statue of Liberty changed since it was built? Number one, it changed position. Number two, it changed color. Number three, it's no longer holding a trident. What?
Rick, where did you find a trident?
A trident?
I killed the man.
It changed position. It changed color. It's no longer holding a trident. I'm going to say trident. I'm going to go for it. No, it changed color.
Serious?
It's made of copper.
Green. Oh, my goodness.
Come on. Come on.
Why is it hotter in summer than it is in winter? Because the Earth is closer to the sun in summer? Because of the tilt of the Earth's axis? Because the Earth has elliptical orbit? That's B, because of the tilt of the Earth's axis. Yes.
Good guess.
Thank you.
I missed that one.
What does outer space smell like?
That's such a weird question.
Burnt steak and hot metal. Nothing. Or C, farts. I'm going to say nothing.
No.
Burn steak and hot metal?
Mm-hmm.
Marcus, he's taking
you
the quiz.
Why are you
I
doing that?
I didn't give an answer. I didn't give an
you
answer.
Said, oh you just went.
You just
mm-hmm.
did.
No, I did not.
Yes, that's, you did. Play it back
that is
right
not,
now.
That is not an answer. That's just
you said no.
That's
when you
said,
the answers, you said
you
no.
You said nope, and then you went mm-hmm, which is yes.
Okay, so it's farts?
Yes.
Whatever you think
no,
it is.
Burnt steak and hot metal. I actually...
Yep.
I actually said nothing.
Where should you look if you want to see an opisthenar? Opisthenar.
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 Exactly.
At your hand, at a tree. I'm going to say at a tree. At your hand, it
I
is.
I missed that one, too.
Okay.
Thanar. Thanar, you speak Greek.
What is...
Thanar is Greek for palm of the hand.
I'm not even thinking right now. Yeah. What is the driest place on Earth... Yungay in the Atacama Desert in Chile.
I hate that Yungay.
Yungay? I said that completely the way it would not sound in Chile. Okay. Furnace Creek in Death Valley. I just gave a completely wrong accent. I'm like, Yungay? Okay. Furnace Creek in Death Valley, California. The dry valleys in Antarctica. Driest place on Earth. Furnace Creek in Death Valley. I'm going to say... This is not fair. Furnace, I'm going to say dry valleys in Antarctica.
Good guess.
Yes!
Nice.
Got it.
That one wrong.
Why did Christopher Columbus set sail in 1492? Because he wanted to sail the ocean blue.
Yeah.
Okay. He wanted to prove the Earth was round. He was looking for a westward route to Asia. He was looking for America. Actually, he did it according to his letters to continue the kingdom of God this part of the world.
Okay.
Really? Take that, BuzzFeed.
That's just what he
okay,
said.
Okay, postmillennialist,
that's what
according
he said.
To the test.
That's what he said. Okay. He wanted to prove the Earth was round. He was looking for a westward route to Asia. He was looking for America. I'm going to say he's looking for America.
Oh, I think I know this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
He was looking for a route.
He was looking for a westward route to Asia. Oh, okay. So I got a 5 out of 12. You're a 50% genius, 50% not so much. That's what I am. All right, guys. So that was Apology Radio.
Young guy.
it's from Bug.
Oops. I should have read the latter part of the sentence before I said it. I'm like, Chile.
Young guy. Chile. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, guys. So be checking out endabortionnow.com, guys, over the next couple of weeks. Be watching out for the site to go live. Thanks, Zach, for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, real quick, we need writers.
Yes, don't forget, guys, if you haven't seen it yet, we are looking for Christian writers.
TV writers. Not blog articles.
Why don't you go ahead and tell them, Mark?
Yeah, we need, if you watch late night television, we need people who can write bits for us, monologue jokes, witty one-liners, really quick stuff. So if you have a desire.
From a Christian worldview. Yeah. Engage in the culture.
If people don't watch late night TV, are they allowed to?
I mean, as long as they're good.
It's a joke, Marcus.
But from the submissions we've gotten so far, you can tell those who don't watch late night TV.
That's true.
So you can tell.
That's true.
So some familiarity with
We will know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, in case you're listening to this and you have sent in a submission, we have gotten some good submissions, Marcus. Yeah, we don't want everyone to think that they sent in the submission. It's immediately been thrown out already.
Yeah, right.
Look, if you're wondering, Marcus isn't talking about you. Please keep sending.
Right. So, Jay, we haven't contacted anybody yet. So if you haven't got a response, it's not because
we're
it was terrible.
We're taking our time. Don't worry.
And, yeah.
Unless we don't contact you ever, then
then you can worry.
And since we're
get better.
Since we're talking about hashtag Marcus says, we also had pad thigh for lunch.
That's what it is.
Pad thigh.
Was that why we ordered
thigh food?
Yeah. Right.
Marcus was watching a video with R.C. Sproul from Legionnaire Ministries.
Yes,
Legionnaire.
They were in Thailand.
Great. I did that interview with a drone. Thailand. I did that interview with a drone, and I said...
You interviewed a drone?
About the drone. Yeah. And Carmen came up to me afterwards and said I mispronounced Rio de Saluda. I mispronounced...
Oh, my gosh. There's not even close.
Rio Salado?
There's a road called Rio Salado in Arizona.
What did he say?
He says Rio de Saluda. Rio Salado Rio de Saluda.
I need some water.
Totally different.
I think he had Ordo Salutis.
Yeah. Rio de Ordo Salutis. All right, guys. That was it, guys. Volunteerradio.com. We'll catch you next week.